Before I begin my sermon this morning, I want to invite you. It's a rainy day. Bodies are tired. We're talking about bodies this morning. Just shake it out a little bit so that we can be awake for this sermon this morning. And if you need to do that in the middle of the sermon, do it. No one's going to look at you weird. I mean, they might, but. In the popular early 2000s movie, Bruce Almighty, reporter and aspiring news anchor Bruce Nolan is given a rare opportunity to do God's work. When Bruce challenges God's goodness, God gives Bruce the opportunity to try and do better. With all of God's divine powers in hand, Bruce is also now the recipient of all prayer requests God would normally receive. So to better manage all these incoming prayers, Bruce creates an email account for all of them to go into. When he receives over 3 million prayer requests in 1 minute, he decides that the only way to expedite his ability to answer them would be to simply respond yes to everyone's request. And so each person received exactly what they wanted. Lottery wins, sports victories, weight loss on a Krispy Kreme diet, and fancy cars. Bruce Almighty gave each person and all of their diverse wishes their exact desires. Now, last week, Pastor Tim opened his sermon with an image about homogeneous cows and the problem of a genetic gene pool that lacks diversity. Uniformity isn't necessarily a good thing, especially when it becomes repressive or unable to adapt to changing environments. Uniformity also isn't representative of our created order. There isn't just one type of star, but many, making up galaxies of all different sorts. Likewise, there's a plethora of plants and animal species, not to mention the diversity found in humanity. If we're all made in God's image and we are diverse in appearance and abilities, then surely diversity is God's will. As it says in our community building core value, we believe that differences are the expression of God's work. So everyone is precious in God's sight. All are free to be who they are without hesitation. In fact, anything goes in a community that abandons uniformity for diversity, right? Well, not exactly. Bruce Nolan, in taking on God's prayer-answering role, quickly discovered that not everyone asks for what they need. And sometimes people's wants conflict one another. When everyone wins the lottery winner gets only pennies. When one sports team wins, the other loses. Sorry, Nationals fans. The world quickly fell into disarray as Bruce ruled with an anything-goes mentality. No one was truly happy or truly cared for. And so it's important this morning to begin with a corrective statement that will give us a lens through which to look at diversity. Unity and diversity are not in conflict with one another, but must always be in conversation with one another, correcting each other's tendency to go to extremes. Unity alone tends to default to uniformity. And diversity alone tends to default to anything goes, neither of which are healthy for life in community. So today's sermon isn't in conflict, but in conversation with last week's sermon on unity. The fine line we are trying to walk is to seek a unity that celebrates diversity. Or as William Salone Coffin puts it, to recognize the need for roots while insisting that the point of roots is to put forth branches. On the flip side, we can't so value diversity of our branches that we abandon a need for common roots. Unity and diversity are not incompatible. A community that values diversity must also have enough rootedness to hold together. So Paul talks about this in our scripture this morning by using the image of the body. And if you need to, here's a good time to shake it out, right? Reminder of your body. The body, while being one entity, is made up of different parts, each with a unique and important role. These parts are interdependent in that they enable the body to function as a whole. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Or if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? In other words, each part has a function, and each role gives helpful information to all the other parts of the body so that they can work together as a unit. A body necessitates diversity coming together into one entity. We have named in our core value the desire to welcome everyone into our church family, that we value people in all that they bring to life together. We've even made a list of those people we hope to include, people of all races and ethnic identities, sexual orientation, marital status, gender, age, ability, economic status, political affiliation, and different religious backgrounds. I want to challenge us to think of this list as unfinished. Rather than ending in a period, we should picture it ending with a comma, allowing us to always draw the circle wider. A community who does this well must also then make space for all to be on a spiritual journey. No one has arrived at spiritual perfection, and so we need to walk together on this path of exploration and discovery. And a community that does this well is also invitational, not just leaving this list in our core value, but inviting and making space for all people. However, building a community that truly values diversity is hard and sometimes downright painful. To offer a space that is hospitable to diversity means welcoming something new, unfamiliar, and unknown into our life world, which can feel threatening and scary. It requires us to have the hard conversation about what will make up our identity, what principles are too important to lose, and what particulars can be pruned for the sake of welcoming new branches. Some theologians say that for diverse communities to truly work, they need to learn to speak Pentecost language, not to be confused with Pentecostal language. At Pentecost, after the Spirit ascended on those gathered in the upper room, each was given the ability to speak in other languages. The crowd that gathered to witness the spectacle was amazed because each of them heard the disciples preaching the gospel in their own native language. So a community that practices Pentecost language understands that each person has a native language or an authentic faith expression that comes most naturally to them. Each of us is encouraged to be authentic, but also to understand that not everything that is shared is meant for us, as it is not spoken in our native language. This may look like appreciating a style of worship that may be foreign or even not our preference, knowing that it is valuable to someone else. This requires some translating on our part, understanding that another values what another values through the lens of what's important to us. And of course, this done well means each has the opportunity to hear the gospel in their own native language. Otherwise, we aren't truly being a Pentecost community. Paul writes to the church in Corinth about the diversity found in a unified body because the Corinthians themselves were struggling with internal conflict related to who and what is important. In part of chapter 12 we didn't read this morning, Paul reminds the Corinthians that even those gifts that seem lesser are indispensable to the body. They must learn to see their interdependence, valuing what each brings to the body. Paul reminds the Corinthians that even in their conflict, it is important for them to dwell not on their differences, but on those things that hold them together. It's no accident, then, that this chapter on the diversity of gifts and abilities continues into the infamous love chapter, often read at weddings. The love Paul references, which certainly is applicable to any relationship, was originally meant to speak to living in community. To truly value the diverse body God has given us, part of what must hold us together, even in the moments of disagreement, is a love that is kind, compassionate, forgiving, and honest. Otherwise, we're just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, rather than a community in harmony with, yes, some occasional dissonance. And so we name in our core values that in order to truly build community, we must engage conflict, knowing that where there is diversity of needs, wants, and opinions, there will certainly be conflict. But as a family, sisters and brothers united together as children of the living God, we hold more in common than what separates us. Our differences, and by extension, our conflict, can be an opportunity for God to change our hearts and lead us further on the path of a spiritual journey. Since I am quite klutzy, I typically am nursing some type of wound on my body. And ironically, as I was going through my pages of my sermon this morning, I gave myself a paper cut. So, point proved. These opportunities often remind me just how miraculous healing can be. Sometimes my body is able to heal from the inside, other times with the help of doctors and nurses. Sometimes the process of healing can be frustrating because it's slow and arduous. This can feel just as true in the metaphorical body of the church. We may desire a quick fix to what feels like a dysfunctional body at times, but often it takes the nurturing of the body over time for it to be truly healthy. But just as God breathed life into the soil, creating the first humans, God breathes into this body the spirit of life. May we, in all of our God-given gifts and abilities, move as one body, filled with the generative force of the Spirit, together on a spiritual journey. Amen.